All right, so trying to think about if we can explore and find if we can try to uncover some of the underlying machlokas of Rehud, Rabbi Shimon, and Muksa. All right. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Did you,
The
Rambam brings in a lot of
tamim
for
Muktzah? Yes, the Rambam brings in a lot of tamim. Rambam brings in a lot of tamim. And
the Rambam brings a lot of tamim, that's correct.
So did you, like, I know you're not necessarily going to formulate the actual, you know, it's not going to necessarily be worked in, but like for the area in which to start, like it definitely has to do with, one of the reasons is, you know, so that you're,
Right. It is a good place to start. But what? So how do you get to that? So in other words, that's the good time. That your things on Shabbos shouldn't be like your things on Chol. So what is that? So how is that implemented? So what is Muktzah saying to take care of that?
Well, a regular weekday, anything that's under your bylaws, you can use. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Whether you usually do, what you don't, designation, like anything that you have ownership of, you can choose to use. And it seems like on Shabbos, they're like limited that it's not anything that you own, because that would be, you know, very similar to Chol. You could just do anything. So they made some, it seems like they argue on exactly how they formulated the concept for the limit on which things you can do.
Right. But what's the bottom line? I mean, everybody holds that what makes it, I mean, from the way we've been defining the smaller questions, and looking at the, you know, and the cases we've seen, what makes something usable on Shabbos and what makes something not usable on Shabbos? So, hachana is definitely being roi for Shabbos or muchen for Shabbos is definitely a key factor, right? I mean, that's definitely a key factor. And even according to Rabbi Shimon, who's the most lenient, still things that you didn't contemplate that you could have used on Shabbos, you can't use. We didn't get all the cases, but there's certain balei chayim that Rabbi Shimon holds are, well, like the fish or those things that you had no anticipation that you would use at all. Or like the, I don't know if we discussed the case of the pigeons in the coop, that, you know, they're very difficult to raise, and yeah, you don't have in mind at all to use them. Or it seems like regular behemoth gasa too. So he also needs you to be aware of their usage, of their possibility, the potential to use them. So it's not just as extreme as it seems at first that he doesn't hold from the whole Inyan, right? But or like Nola too, even though he said most Nola he doesn't hold from, a real Nola that he had no, that wasn't in existence beforehand, he would not, he would say it's Asr, right? It's only the other nolads he holds that they're in existence in a more general sense, through the chicken, through the kli, right? But everybody agrees, it seems, that what is, what does muktzah demand? What does the institution of muktzah create? What is it? What are the components of? What are the entities within the world of muktzah? So you have things that are kalim. That means it demands what? It demands that when Shabbos starts. It demands that when Shabbos starts, what? There are certain kalim that have to be. You can only use kalim that are ready for Shabbos or are prepared for Shabbos or designated for Shabbos. In some generalized sense. The inyan of muktzah creates like a class of kalim. During the week, there's no restriction on kelim that you use at all, right? But in order to use a kli on Shabbos, it has to have existed from before, right? And its use has to have existed from before, and in some way, it has to be considered roi for Shabbos. So if it didn't exist from before at all, like the havamin of the rain and the clouds, right? Or the ashes, according to Tosus, the ashes from the wood didn't exist at all in any form. That would be muksa, because you didn't have your das on it. And we also see that das plays some role. Awareness plays some role. And likewise, if you had something that you, in your mind and thought, would not be usable at all on Shabbos or Yantif, it's also muktzah, like the kos and kara, or what was the other case? You set something up and you don't. Oh, or like a sukkah, very good. Like a sukkah that's a bria, a healthy sukkah. You don't have any anticipation it's going to fall down. Right? Yeah. So what I was saying before is that, in other words, it seems like the relevant concepts that are the relevant concepts to the system of muktzah is it seems that muktzah demands not just clay, kelim of the weekday, but you have to have a certain category now of objects that are designated, or objects that belong to Shabbos itself. In other words, if something is muktzah, that's the opposite of being ready for Shabbos. Ready for Shabbos is necessary, because then you'll have a kli on Shabbos. Your usage, your tashmish is restricted to kelim that are defined as kelim of Shabbos. That seems to be, or not just kelim, of all objects. It's why can't you use an object that wasn't in existence before Shabbos? Because it has no shaychus to the yom. It wasn't in any way anticipated, and it wasn't in any way able to be prepared for the day. So vis-a-vis this day of Shabbos, this kli is like a non-existent entity. This kli is foreign. Has to have been in some way made available for Shabbos. That seems to be just the most general way of understanding muktzah. I'll tell you, from going through a lot of the cases and seeing a lot of the explanations, I did get a sense, and this is somewhat of an intuitive sense I had, that the problem, or the uniqueness of the whole institution of muktzah, comes from the fact that we need to define a kli as relating to Shabbos. But what that causes is somewhat of it causes you to limit your time horizon. In other words, normally, how do we define a kli? How do we define a kli in general? What's that?
It's function.
And basically, it's right. It's designated function, really, right? I mean, the function that when you have an object that has many, many possible uses, but there's one use that it is specifically designed for, right? Or designated for, like the nair. And make that pottery cup specifically for lighting. All right, you have to use it too. But anyway, we call it a nair right away. Okay, It has the kli is defined by its designated use, right? The use that it's designed for. So that's what we mean by the shame of a kli, right? I mean, the shame means that of all the possible uses, we're going to define it by one. Correct? We're going to define it by one. We're going to select one of all the possible uses and say, this is a blank. Right? So in order to define a kli, you have to see all the possibilities. And the one that it's considered essentially made for or existing for is the shame of the kli. Okay. So now normally, if I'd ask you to define a kli, so we say, well, it has to go by its possible uses. What are the possible uses of the kli? Right. So ordinarily, the possible uses are going to include, an unlimited time horizon. We wouldn't look at it. Wouldn't define a kli by today. We wouldn't say, well, on Monday, this is what the kli is, because I can't get out of the house, so it's not a car today. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with transportation because I'm homebound today. You don't define a kli normally by a limited situational, by the circumstances of a particular situation. You look at it in terms of its lifetime, in terms of its normal usage over an extended period of time, because that's part of its range of possibilities, right? It can be a range of possibilities existing in something, even though at the moment it's not available for first due to the circumstance, right? Like, eyeglasses in the pitch black. They still are defined as kalim to help you see better. It's just you don't say, well, at this moment there's a bittle of the kli. It'd be ridiculous because the possibility exists in it. And in its lifetime, the possibility is going to be realized because it's going to exist more than the day and the night, more than one night. Okay, but that's where I think we get into an interesting situation. If I tell you now that you need clay Shabbos, you need ochel shel Shabbos, you can't use. On Shabbos, you can't use ordinary kalim, objects of chol. You need kalim that are special for Shabbos. So that creates an interesting situation now, because since it's a shame of a kli shel Shabbos, we can only look at the Shabbos possibilities. You understand? Now we can only look at the Shabbos possibilities. Normally, in defining a kli, you don't look at a limited time frame. You don't say, well, at nighttime this is a nothing, and in the daytime it is a something, right? You say, well, its existence is over night and day, and it's essentially made for a particular use. So it has a shame of the time that it's usable in. But by Shabbos can't recognize, the clay Shabbos cannot recognize any tashmish of chol. That's part of the definition of what we're looking for, right? So you cannot make recourse to any function of chol in order to define something as a clay Shabbos. You understand? So clearly, if something is completely unusable on Shabbos in any way, shape, or form, the fact that it can be used tomorrow is not going to help you. In terms of Shabbos, it's not going to have a shame kli. In the realm of kalim, in the realm of tumah and tara, we're not going to say it's not a kli. But the idea of shel Shabbos doesn't apply. And that's what we're looking for in muktzah. We're looking in muktzah to... This is my hypothesis. We're looking in muktzah for the hechinu. There has to be some sort of, okay, I know the pasuk is used for a little bit of a slightly different idea, but it has to be an inyan that when Shabbos begins, it's koveya now, a new range of kalim, a new identity of kalim. And why can't I use this kli and not use that kli? Because this kli is a Shabbos kli, and this kli is foreign to Shabbos. It has nothing to do with Shabbos. Okay. But this is the idea I'm thinking about. Questions like this. So how do you define a kli for Shabbos? How do you define a kli for Shabbos? What does it mean to say that it's a Shabbos cheftza? What does it mean to say that it's a Shabbos cheftza? So I think that Rabbi Yehuda says like this. The Rabbi Yehuda way of looking at things says like this. It says you have to take a look at the kli during chol. That's the definition of the kli. Okay, you have a definition of a kli from chol. Now you have to ask yourself this. Does that definition apply to Shabbos or not? In other words, you must still use the same shem hakli. The shem of the kli is fixed. There's one definition to this kli, and that comes from the way it's made. And now, when Shabbos starts, either this kind of a kli is shayach to Shabbos or it's not shayach to Shabbos. Either this kind of a kli is shayach to Shabbos or it's not shayach to Shabbos. But you can only look at at its identity in terms of its normal existence, and you'll say, well, here's a whole my world of kalim is really the normal world of kalim, and when Shabbos comes in, it's basically like a filter, and it's going to select of the kalim that have a shame that is consistent with Shabbos to be the Klei Shabbos. And the Kalim that have a shame that's not consistent with Shabbos are excluded from Shabbos. You understand? So we have to go by the definition of the Klei, not potential usages. We have to go by the definition of the Klei. So, or the object. So the fact that Tarna Golas Omedes LaAchila LaGadol Beitzim could be used for Achila, doesn't matter. It already has a designation. And basically, the definition of Klei Shabbos are the Kalim that are Roy for Shabbos. Simple. Right? Just let's keep it simple and basic for a minute. If we have to modify it, we'll have to see. But the fact that it's that it has potential uses is not relevant to Rabbi Yehuda. That's not relevant to Rabbi Yehuda. But I think that Rabbi Shimon looks at it the other way. He says, if you want to define Klei Shabbos, that means you're saying that there's a new world of Kalim now. There's like a reevaluation of everything when Shabbos begins. There's no such thing. Rabbi Shimon does not like the idea to say that on Shabbos we're going to define it as like a, we're going to take an essential definition and say that it has a real defined identity for this one day. In other words, like this. Let me put it this way. Rabbi Yehuda looks at it like this. He says, let's say you have a regular kli, a knife, whatever it is. So when Shabbos starts, now you have to evaluate this cheftza. You have to say, this cheftza has a definition of a cutting implement, let's say. Is cutting mutter on Shabbos? Yes. So now this is a cutting implement for today. Okay. Its definition of kli is now going to be a kli for Shabbos. In other words, it still is going to need its essential definition. But the essential definition looks at it as if the kli will self-destruct in 24 hours. Would you call this a kli if you knew it was going to be destroyed in 24 hours? So in other words, is it a kli, is it a knife given a limited existence of this particular time? Normally you don't look at a kli like that. Normally a kli spans many, many situations. And you can define it by its essential situation. But Shabbos demands that you view the kli only in one framework, in the framework of one day. In the framework of this one day, did the kli cease to be a kli because this day has no usage for it? Or can I still call it the Chefza within, even though I'm only looking at it in a very, very limited time frame? Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, once you're looking at it in a limited time frame, it doesn't make sense to give it a real shame kli anymore. This is an exceptional case. This is an exceptional moment in the life of the kli. It's not really, you don't really define it anymore essentially as a kli that happens to also exist on Shabbos. It's a whole new class. The class itself is Klei Shabbos. In other words, if you look at it, so therefore he says like this, whatever, the only thing Shabbos does, according to Rabbi Shimon, is what? The only thing Shabbos does, according to Rabbi Shimon, is limits the possibilities. Now, a kli exists, the shame of a kli exists from two factors. There are two factors that create the identity of a kli. One is the range of its possibilities, right? What are the uses that I can have with this object? That's the preliminary step. And then I have to solidify and choose one of them to be koveya this as its use, right? And in fact, just the identification is not enough in certain cases. You actually have to use it that way to really be koveya. You understand? Now you understand why the hazmana and usage is sometimes hazmana is not enough. Usage is more definitive. Because you actually have to, once you select and use it in one way, now you're already demonstrating an exclusion of others. Because the definition of the kli is selecting of the many possibilities and excluding those other possibilities and defining it as by one. So of course hazmana is a part of it, but until you actually use it in one particular way, it still is really in some sense undefined. But okay, that's a separate question of hazmana. But basically, a kli comes from the shame. Kli arrives from the possibilities, and then a certain designation of one. Rabbi Shimon says Shabbos does this. Shabbos strips the kli of any prior shame that it had, because it's Shabbos now. It's a new day. That definition of the kli that we gave it from before, that was a definition. That was a definition based on the selection of many, many possibilities, right? So if I have a nair, and I use it for lighting a fire, I use it for light. So I call it a nair. During the weekday, it's a nair. Now, why is it a nair on the weekday? Because during the week, I have many possibilities. One of which is lighting it, one of which is making fire. So that's one of the natural possibilities, that's one of the possible uses of this kli, of this cheres. So of the uses, I select one, and I call it, and I say it's essentially a nair. But Rav Shimon says when Shabbos starts, you can't be fixed in the old shame that you had, because that old shame was born of many possible uses that you selected from. But when Shabbos starts, the whole world changes. When Shabbos, in terms of Shabbos, the uses are not the same. So when on Shabbos, you can't make a fire on Shabbos. So you can't, you're not stuck in the old shame of Nair. You have to just say, it's a kli shel Shabbos, if after I strip it of its shame, it still exists generally as usable for Shabbos. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are somewhat at opposite ends. Rabbi Yehuda says, the selection of the shame that you made is the kli. And to be a kli of Shabbos, that shame that you defined it by in the ordinary course of its existence has to apply to Shabbos as well. Now, what does it mean to be a kli Shabbos? It means a kli whose shame is universally good. You know what I'm saying? It has to be that the shame of the kli is good, not just on the weekday, but it has to be what makes the kli shel Shabbos, that the shame that it has includes the Tashmish of Shabbos. I'm still just trying to work this out a little bit. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, all you go by is, there's no such thing like that. Once you're saying that Shabbos needs new kalim, that Shabbos needs its own kalim, then what's the definition of a kli Shabbos? That the definition of an entity of Shabbos is exactly that cheftza whose possibilities are open to Shabbos. You don't select, you don't go by the old shame anymore. It just goes by the fact. There's one. This is the question. When you have to have a kli for one particular day that has general, that has restrictions on its use, you know, i.e. Shabbos, does that demand that the particular shame relate to Shabbos? Or on the contrary, do we say there's no such thing as a particular shame for a day? That's contradictory to the whole world, to the whole idea of kalim. There's no such thing as a particular shame for a day. Because the kli doesn't exist for a day. The kli exists for years. So how could you give it a shame based on one day? On the contrary, Rabbi Shimon holds the only way to formulate something like that is to say we just simply remove all particular shamos. And all we look at is possibilities. The thing is, Shabbos is going to change the possibilities. As Rabbi Yehuda holds, the kli for Shabbos has to be the same kind of a kli during the weekday. It has to be something that has that possibilities with a kvius of one. The only thing is, that kvius of one has to be a kvius of Shabbos. You understand? So, if in my mind I always treat a certain object in a certain way, that's its kvius. Now, if that kvius, if that shame doesn't fit into the realm of, to the scope of Shabbos, then it's not a kli of Shabbos. Because he looks at the kli Shabbos the same way that he looks at regular shame of kli. A designation and a selection of a particular usage that gives it its definition. The only thing is, to be a kli of Shabbos, that particular definition has to be an existent on Shabbos. Has to be in existence on Shabbos. Because if I select from the impossible, that's not a shame on kli. You understand? If I say this book is an airplane, why is it not? Because I can't select a usage that doesn't exist. There's not going to be any shame of anything in this in any object other than a selection of what exists in its normal possibilities. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying when Shabbos starts, it changes the possibilities. But that just means that certain selections are going to fall away. Certain shamos are going to be lost. And in order to be a kli Shabbos, the shame that it has must be of something that exists on Shabbos. So if the ner is defined as something to light a fire in, that's the shame akli. So then when Shabbos starts, there's no shame akli. There's no shame akli l'gabi Shabbos. It's considered a huktzah l'gabi Shabbos. It's considered out of the range of Shabbos. Because Shabbos demands clay Shabbos, demands entities of Shabbos. Eitzim and Avanim, no good either. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not what we say. We say, when the Kalim enter Shabbos, we look at them stripped of any old definition. We look at them stripped of the old definition, and we just look at the possibilities that are intrinsic in the Kli. And we say that the Kli of Shabbos is a generalized idea, because it's just a temporary status, it's a temporary stage. We don't, the whole idea. See, that's where the interesting question arises. A Kli, in reality, a Kli, and Shabbos knows that Sunday's coming. Shabbos knows Friday was there before. We can't pretend like Shabbos lives in the vacuum. So we know there are other Kalim. We know that there are other ways to define things. And we say we need Kalim for Shabbos. But that itself creates a logical difficulty. Because the shame of a Kli is dependent on its full existence. Right, the shame of a Kli is dependent on all of its circumstances. All the days of its life is what the shame of the Kli is dependent upon. But yet you're telling me define a Kli by one day out of its life, by one day out of all of its existence. Well, that's somewhat of a contradiction between defining a Kli. That's somewhat contradictory with the very idea of defining a Kli. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, then it has to be that its real definition happens to fit in with this day. That's the only way you can have a Kli Shel Shabbos. That its true definition happens to overlap even on Shabbos. You understand? Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, you work it out the opposite way. We say that Shabbos is the usage that we're talking about. Shabbos is the definition that we're talking about. So what is a Kli Shabbos? It's any Kli who one of its possibilities is Shabbos. So Shabbos itself is the Kvius of the Kalim. You understand? That would be Rabbi Shimon. In other words, what's the definition? How do you define a Kli Shel Shabbos? So Rabbi Shimon says it has to first be a Kli. The normal way of defining a Kli is by selecting a possibility and giving a kvius to that shame. And that shame has to also be Shaykh to Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says, no. A Kli Shel Shabbos is exactly what it sounds like. It's not a knife. It's not a fork. It's not anything else. That is its designation. Shabbos use. Shabbos use itself becomes like the automatic kvius of the Chefza. So any object that comes into Shabbos with possibilities, one of which is a use of Shabbos, then that is the definition of the Kli Shel Shabbos. Shabbos itself designates the Kli. Which one of its possible uses is the one that defines it? The Shabbos uses. So now it's going to be different. Now there's going to be a tremendous difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in what's going to make something muktzah or not. For Rabbi Yehuda, in order to make something not muktzah, its actual shame prati, has to be defined. You have to actually define it like in specific. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, in order to make something muktzah, in order for something to become muktzah, you have to specifically relate to it that vis-a-vis Shabbos, it has no possibilities. You understand? That's what the das and the that's the role of the das. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the role of the das is going to be to align and to select a definition for the kli, a shema kli that is roy for Shabbos. So or yontif. So if I call this animal omedes legadol beitzim, that is in fact its shame. That is, in fact, its shame. But that shame is not commensurate with Achilas Yontif. So Legabi Yontif, it's not an Ochel Shal Yontif. It's not an entity of Ochel Shal Yontif. But according to Rabbi Shimon, as long as it comes into existence of Yom Tov with the possibility in my mind, because possibility is still a tully on the das of the Baal, possibilities in my mind of being eaten at some point, at any point, it doesn't really matter when I think about I might eat it. As long as there's some possibility of it being eaten, so that's the kviyas of ochel. That itself is the kviyas of ochel. What's going to prevent it from, what's going to make it muktzah? If I specifically bidas, negate the possibility for Shabbos. So I light a kos and a kara, and in my mind I'm saying, this thing, legabi Shabbos, doesn't have a possibility of use. You understand? Then memela, it's not going to be a kli Shabbos. Whereas according to Rabbi, you know, there's somewhat, whether you're coming from the top or the bottom, a kli comes from the bases is the possibilities, and the top, like a pyramid, is the selection. According to Rabbi Shimon, the only way you can really alter kli Shabbos is bidas, removing possibilities. So if a sukkah bria enters the yom, my mind looks at it and says, impossible that I'm going to be able to use that. But if it's shaky, my das, now there is a possibility. Once there's a possibility, that's enough. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not enough. It has to be kavua. It enters Shabbos as a structure of Isser. It enters Shabbos with a shame that is not usable. Then as a shame, it's not Shaykh to Shabbos. Then that shame is not Shaykh to Shabbos. Then it's not a Kli of Shabbos. What's interesting is that even Rabbi Yehuda holds, you can make a Tanai, it seems. Ahead of time, I can bidas, redefine it. But it would require an act of redefinition. Say, this sukkah is really firewood. It's just firewood in a very funny structure right now. I mean, it has to be before Yantav, I mean. I'd have to bidas, redefine the essential shame. And according to Rabbi Shimon, I'd have to bidas, be mafkia, possibility. You understand? But what I'm trying to show you is that if you look at the way a kli gains a shame in general, and then you demand that it gain a temporary shame, there are two ways you can go for that. There are two interpretations of something like that. Either it means that its real shame has to be commensurate with this temporary situation as well, or it means the situation itself is going to be the shame. Shabbos, Tashmishe Shabbos, is the shame. And then, but to give it a real identity because of a one-day existence, that's not in line with the idea of Kalim anymore. So it's either going to demand that the actual shame is commensurate, or it means to say we negate actual shame and we're just going to look at how do you define a kli shel Shabbos? Exactly like that. Something whose uses are defined by Shabbos.
It's a new type of definition.
It's a new type of definition. It's a temporary definition. It's a temporary definition from the situation of the yom. Not a real definition in terms of, it's not like a regular kli. Going to review, he demands the regular kli definition. He demands a regular definition in the realm of kalim in general, but that it includes Shabbos. But Rabbi Shimon's saying no. Now it's a different thing. Now we don't look at it like that anymore. Now all we're saying is a separate thing. We're saying there's a new category of kalim. What's the whole category of kalim? Tashmishe Shabbos. We're replacing the idea of defining something by a particular with defining it by a general tashmish. You can't do that in general. There's no other way. You can't in general, since the normal weekday has unlimited possibilities, there's no way to define something in a general sense. I guess you could if you think about it, but since Shabbos has a limitation on possibilities, that that category can become like a particular in its own right. And we'll say the definition of Klei Shavus is a different type of a definition. The definition of a more generalized sense. Now, so you see over here though an interesting thing that the idea that we were discussing a long time ago, what we noticed a long time ago, is that Rabbi Yehuda requires like something positive, and Rabbi Shimon seems more concerned about the usages. It was, that's like a raw observation. You know what I mean? But if you go back and you think about how kalim should be defined, how they are defined, and how they can be defined temporarily, that observation seems to fit in, I think, in a more natural, it has a natural place.
So how does Rabbi Yehuda deal with the fact that, in general, you just don't define kalim temporarily? You don't say that the definition is just temporary.
Right, so he says you have to go by we're not defining it temporarily, really. We're really not defining it temporarily. We're saying its specific shame that it always has is inclusive of Shabbos. So a knife is the definite. No, it's only if it's going to be excluded from Shabbos if the particular shame that it has, meaning the selection of one usage, doesn't exist on Shabbos. So now it's like a bittul kli. I define this as a burner. And there's no burning on Shabbos, so it doesn't exist. It's bottle. It's kli. The shame kli is bottle.
So we're saying that they're differing on how the definition of a kli is koveya on Shabbos?
That's right. Is it kavua through its natural, through its ordinary shame? And if it doesn't match up with Shabbos, then it's not kavua. Or is it kavua in a different way? It's kavua just by Shabbos itself becomes like a use. All of the possibilities of Shabbos become a use. You don't say cutting anymore. You just say generalized idea of Shabbos. So that just as long as the possibilities exist, it can be kavua.
All the kelim become the same.
All the kelim become the same. Exactly. All the kelim become one kli. Right. There are no more divisions of kelim on Shabbos. There's only one kli. Kli Shabbos. That's it.
What were you saying is? Yeah, I just understood that there's one idea of kelim that neither could tolerate. What you're saying now?
If it has absolutely no uses, if it has absolutely no use.
No, I don't mean practically. I mean against the definition of what kelim.
So what I'm trying to say is that everybody really is agreeing that everybody knew there was an institution of muktzah. An institution of muktzah limited the kelim of Shabbos. demanded klei Shabbos. Demanded cheftzoi Shabbos. Question is, how is that implemented? Is it implemented in the normal way a kli is defined, but that normal definition has to be maintained through Shabbos? Or is it a different analysis of a different system of classifying kalim based on the temporary situation itself? But the temporary situation can't select a specific thing. It has to just go by the temporary situation itself. And then certainly the temporary shouldn't be bound by a particular that was defined based on the existence, on the lifetime of the clique.